The Cannabis Conversation. A European perspective on the emerging legal cannabis industry.
Welcome to the Cannabis Conversation with Anuj Desai, where we explore the new legal cannabis industry by speaking to the professionals that are helping to shape it. On today's show, we've got David Stadnick, who is the President and CEO of World High Life. David hails from Canada, and World High Life are an investment company that have recently started trading on the NEX exchange in London a few months ago. Welcome, David.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Glad to have you. So there's a lot to talk about here. World High Life, one of the first companies to list in London. But before we kind of get onto that, maybe it's good to just know a bit about your background and your journey in cannabis and your journey to World High Life.
Well, how much time do we have here? Unfortunately, I'm getting close to, I'm 57 years old now. So it's been 30 years of in the investment field. Started out as a broker in the finance side of things. We started a family office probably 25 years ago. We've been involved in several sectors, a lot in the pharmaceutical space, which hence led us to approximately 6 years ago, we were an early adopter into the Canadian cannabis sector. Again, we started one of the first, a company called Supreme Pharmaceuticals at the time. It's now the Supreme Cannabis Company, one of the first cannabis companies in the space. So it's been a huge success. So in the last, since then, we've been really focused on the cannabis space, the cannabis CBD space, North America. Supreme was a Canadian cultivator. It's made lots of acquisitions. We probably raised north of $400 million. Last financing was a $100 million bought deal. Again, cannabis cultivator, Canada. And then we moved into the U.S. market. We started Friday Night, which is now 1933 Industries. U.S. cultivator out of Las Vegas and huge into the CBDs right across the U.S. So, and then from there, we started a hybrid of the two, a U.S. and Canadian company that's involved in Washington State, Oregon, Oklahoma, huge farm, hemp farm up in British Columbia, organic hemp farm. Raised lots of money in those deals too. Then it was, where to next? We'd like to be a pioneer in the field, and we'd like to look at where the industry's growing. UK was it. So we jumped on a plane and came over and started meeting people and go, hey, there's really not a lot of people in the space here. It's a burgeoning space. It's a great way to get going, get started, and move into the whole European market. So had my backers that have backed us in all our other companies and said, hey, we'll back you. We quickly raised £2.5 million, I guess. That was quickly done. We raised another couple million pounds since then. Started World High Life only 6 months ago. So we're just here. We're pioneering in the space. So we made our first acquisition just a month ago. Big acquisition. We came into a space we wanted to acquire what we believe is the biggest and best in the industry. So we purchased Love Hemp. Put it this way, most people know of it in the UK space. Mm-hmm. It's in 1,900 stores. It's the biggest CBD company in the UK. We're really pleased with that acquisition. So we're just digesting it now and working on its expansion. And so we're really happy about that. And from here, the plan is to not only to really dominate the UK market in the next 12 months, further than we are already, and moving into the European and North American markets. But we're on try to be a European, sort of UK, European focused company. That's the angle we're trying to take.
Yeah.
We can back into the North American market real easy.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty easy for us. So if we decide to make that a little sooner, we can do that. But the idea is to try to dominate UK, European market.
Well, it's fair to say that you've got a real wealth of North American experience there. Sounds like you've got, a real spread across the...
Yeah, we've done it all.
Yeah.
In terms of, I got to say, I wasn't really that much of a kind of a marijuana, cannabis, CBD guy before 2012, 2013. We had this company, it was actually Supreme Resources. So it was really a mining company.
Right.
And my son, he was like 20 years old, was talking to me, and he says to me, Dad, this cannabis space is really kind of taken off. And I kind of look at him like... We've been talking to, as a pharmaceutical, we're talking to the University of Alberta about doing some pharmaceutical deals. And so we changed the name from Supreme Resources to Supreme Pharmaceuticals.
Right.
But we hadn't done a deal yet. So I said to my son, I go, well, you know what? Maybe it doesn't hurt to look at a cannabis deal. So we just put out, we're a public company, so we put out a news release in 2012, 13, said, we just happened to be looking at the cannabis space. And our stock went absolutely crazy.
We got called. In a good way?
In a good way. Like, it was going crazy. Like, everything had been dead. The mining space had been dead. Like, there's no real market taking off. And because our name was attached to it, at least we weren't Supreme Gold or Supreme Resource. We were Supreme Pharmaceuticals. So in people's mind, well, they put cannabis and pharmaceuticals together. So we were the stock to buy. Mm-hmm. And TV stations calling us and everything. My son, you know, being a millennial, I told you, Dad, I told you. So fortunately, we have those millennials involved in this with us now too. So anyway, that started the cannabis craze, and you know, we've really been involved in it with my partner, Mr. Sathalis, and I, and Andrew Mail here now in the UK. We're up and running.
Cool.
And we think we're a pioneer in the business, but it's we'll see.
So 2012, in cannabis years, that's nearly 50 years then. Great, fantastic. Actually, I've got a question while you're here. Just for my knowledge, I only really found out what a family office was a couple of years ago. Could you explain a bit about what a family office does and how important it is in the cannabis space?
I didn't realize it either, that I was a family office, probably until a couple of years ago myself. But I truly am the word of a family office, because I'm myself involved, my son's involved, my other son's quasi-involved, but his family office is just literally, we put our own money into deals.
Right.
So and we have people that follow us too, a small, relatively small group of people that kind of back into those deals. And it's a small group of people. We put up our own money into our own deals and invest into other deals as we move forward.
Fantastic. And this has been a real kind of engine for capital in the cannabis sector. Because
family offices, like here in the UK, that's one of the, if not the biggest right now. If you can kind of infiltrate the family offices, I think you can raise a lot of money.
Right.
So it's certainly big here. Yeah, I'm with you though. Like, you really, like, say 5 years ago, and you said you're a family office, I kind of look at people, and then as it became popular in the last few years, I go, oh, I guess I really am a family office.
Yeah.
But you're right about that.
Yeah, great. I mean, we had a great guest on a couple of weeks ago from the Financial Post, talking about how difficult to raise institutional capital. So a lot of family offices funded sort of the initial rise of cannabis companies. So
out of here? Or?
Just in Canada, I think, is what we're talking
about. In Canada?
Yeah.
No, there's a lot of family offices. As Andrew was pointing out to me earlier today, they're basically little family offices that put a lot of money into our company too.
Yeah, great. Great, great, great. So you mentioned Love Hemp is your current investment. Is that the only one?
That's our first one.
That's your first one, right?
Yeah, as an investment company, our mandate is to invest and make several investments. So that was our first one. Really pleased about it. Really pleased the way it's going, where it's going. Pleased where it's been. We're looking forward to great things there. Like I said, we're just digesting, and we're looking at other acquisitions that'll complement that mandate, that platform.
Great.
All the investments will be essentially in the cannabis space or around it.
Yeah.
So that adds to that platform. So we'd look at other acquisitions that aren't quite, say, cannabis, but they maybe be a vitamin company, but it's got great distribution, which that distribution could help our Love Hemp line move into Europe or something like that.
So
it's all about getting the distribution in on the Love Hemp side of things and the cannabis CBD side of things.
So, yeah, I mean, I was just about to ask you, what the kind of investments are you looking for? Are you focused on the wellness space, or would you look at medical, or?
You know, my background was the medical and recreational and CBD. You know, the laws here, it can only be medical as a public company in the UK. So we would look at medical, we'll look at it.
Yeah.
And we'd look at some pharmaceutical. At the end of the day, it's about creating shareholder value. And if it adds to shareholder value, we'd certainly entertain that. But medical is definitely there, but I don't think medical really in the UK at this point in time would be, in the UK in particular, it wouldn't be one of our focuses, just because I think the UK has got a long ways to go on that side of things.
Yeah, but, definitely.
And recreational isn't even on the radar, I guess,
for
a long time to be.
Yeah, you're right. Lots of ironing out of regulations and and all kinds of infrastructure needs to be sorted out before medical really take off in the UK. But similarly with CBD, how are you viewing the kind of novel issue?
Yeah, we're always staying on top of that with our lawyers, and there's a few advocate groups that we work with to make sure that we're staying on the right side of that. But that's, you know, that's always, we feel quite comfortable here in the UK about it now, and you know, it's an issue, but we're staying on top. We don't seem to think there's going to be any issues on that at the present time. But again, we stay abreast of the laws as best we can and look at other things too, in case that did become a problem. That's, again, some of our acquisitions might be something outside of the realm of novel foods, so that if we had to pivot a little bit, we could do that. So
yeah,
it couldn't be, you know, shut down overnight. If that, I don't think that's going to happen, but who knows?
Sounds wise. Yeah, you can't predict, can you? It's whatever the regulator sort of chooses to take action or enforcement, whatever, I guess we'll find out then. But it's
yeah, it'll be probably around the ingestibles. Well, it will be around the ingestibles. So if you can get more on the cream side or anything, or the pharmaceutical side, we're comfortable.
You're planning. Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Good to hear. So I guess, we're still on this, and with the European theme, it sounds like you're very much UK-based to begin with. UK-based as a market, but are you looking at wider Europe as your kind of second market? And then are you looking perhaps to buy or acquire any businesses within mainland Europe as well?
We're looking at it right as we speak. And you know, Andrew and I just had a chat about that just on the walk over here, that we're looking at companies. In particular, we're looking a lot into the German market and distribution channels. There's a few issues there, but we think we can get into that market. That's one of the biggest ones. We're actually already in 200 stores in Holland.
I love hemp.
So we're looking to expand that line. Yeah, Europe as a whole, we're looking at things now. Mature, well, if you can say there's a mature market in CBD, but the countries that are allowing it, and it's fairly accessible. We're doing a big rebranding this year, in the coming year, and you know, we're spending a lot of money to make sure we're clearly the dominant player here.
Yeah, yeah. How much do you think kind of retail is a key driver of that? Because of, we've had various people on before, and I think the challenge of CBD is it's quite poorly understood because it's relatively new. Do you think that retail element is really important, where you've got face-to-face that someone can explain a bit more? It's very difficult with medical claims, etc. But
well, part of our, like I say, that's a good question. Part of our rebranding is also to educate people. You're going to see a lot of people to understand the different aspects of CBD. So we're trying to educate people as we go, and I think people will get educated as time moves on. But again, that's part of our branding, and to get people into the retail and the online presence. The online presence is phenomenal too.
Like, yeah, you
know, it's not just retail. Like, the online is, if you're talking online as retail.
Well, I was talking about, I guess, bricks and mortar, but because with online, I guess one of the challenges is that it's less easy to advertise. You know, Google and Facebook are not that friendly towards it, which presents a challenge.
It is a challenge, but you just got to, or you got to stay on top. And, you know, it's always what you're allowed to say, not allowed to say. You got to kind of, you want to work with the regulatory bodies too, to make sure you're not offside anyway. But it's always it's a fine line between what you can do and can't do. So I leave that to our marketing team and our guys that love hemp, who have some of the best people to work with in terms of getting that done. But it's tricky.
Yeah.
And what you can say and can't say. But that would be a question more for our operations people than for me. I'm more the finance guy and the acquisition sort of the side of things. So
cool. Yeah. So if we look sort of future facing a bit, so we're learning. I mean, everyone talks about North American market being sort of 3 to 5 years ahead of where we are in the UK or in Europe generally. What sort of learnings are you bringing over from North America over to your sort of European strategy?
Well, 3 to 5 years, I'd say, you're on the cannabis side of cannabis. I'm talking THC side of things. I think the UK market and the European market is not only 3 to 5 years behind it. It's dead. I'm going to say 10 years behind at least. I don't even know where to start on that side of things. I think the THC and the cannabis side of things in North America was kind of quick to evolve. And the CBD was, everyone was hot and bothered about THC and marijuana. And the CBD market followed after that. And the reason why it kind of followed also, though, and really kind of took off over the last 2 or 3 years, I'm gonna say, is because there's always a problem kind of dealing with THC, dealing with borders, crossing state lines, country lines. And then personally, if you're involved with cannabis and you go land in another country, oh, you're involved. Like, you know, there's always a stigma associated with. So with the CBDs, it's been a lot easier. And so that's kind of evolved over the last few years. That being said, when I came over here, George and I came over here to look at the opportunities here. Well, first off, there's no cannabis or very minimal cannabis, even medical cannabis. But the CBD, we're quite surprised. The CBD market has evolved quite a bit. I'm just by talking to the different acquisitions we're trying to make last year or two, it's been incredible. So I would put the CBD market very close to the North American market, right, in terms of people using CBDs and adopters of CBDs and getting it in. You know, like us, we're in 1,900 stores or in Boots and everywhere. So the products are readily available all over here. I think even, well, it's ahead of the curve in Canada. Because as bizarre as this sounds, in Canada, well, until this month, CBDs are actually illegal.
Right, yeah.
So you can't, you know, so that's bizarre in itself. So I guess there you go. So you're the CBD kings compared to Canada.
Very interesting. That's not an opinion I've heard before, but actually tallies with what I've read, that there's a bit closer, the gap is a bit closer. I think the branding seems to be a little bit more sophisticated in North America, although I would say, again, in the last year, the UK brand seems to be catching up, you know, certainly gone away from anything ganja leafy type, you know, comic booky.
It's interesting you say that, because that's, we're looking forward to our new branding next year. We've been happy with what we've had, but the new branding, well, it'd be really exciting to see it for the market. But, you know, again, it's going a little bit away from that.
Yeah.
From that sort of, lack of a better word, 70, 80 sort of feel, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Served a purpose, you know, to get it out there that, you know, that's where it all kind of started, but it's evolving. It's a branding issue now. Yeah. Our aim is not to be in the cultivation side or that early side. It's the branding at the end of the day. You know, there's in the CBD business, there's going to be a Coca-Cola, you know, there's going to be, you know, the Kit Kats and the Mars bars and whatever they're in, whatever sector there is. It's about branding. That's where this sector is now. But there's nothing better than the name Love Hemp. I think listen, someone's got to be the biggest in the world, and why can't it be us? Mm. So that's the aim, is to be, I want people to say, because I'm not known for anything else except my great kids, they can say, yeah, my dad started that company, thanks to the millennials, you know, that we started that, Love Hemp. Well, they started, but we took it to the next level in terms of branding. It's about branding.
It sounds really exciting. Yeah, it is. I think we've seen a real shift from a lot of focus on cultivation to consumer products.
Totally. When we started Supreme, that was in 2013, we were just going to be the biggest cultivator in Canada. Mm. And that was just, off the charts. Now, you kind of don't even want to be like, I don't know. It's kind of almost, it's still got, the cultivation side of things still got a hangover from the old days of the impression of guys growing, and lack of a better word, the hippie-ish sort of thing. Some of those guys couldn't make the move over to the business, I think. Some did, and some have been very successful at it. But it's still got a bit of a kind of a cash negative connotation, the cultivation side of things. And, you know, it's a challenge. Believe me, it's been a challenge.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we've been involved in other little cultivators we bought, and we got our head handed to us pretty quickly in terms of how money can go out the back door.
All learnings yeah. through the evolution.
Yeah. So happy not to be there. For you guys that are out there in cultivation, hats off to you.
Yeah. Doing a very important job.
Yeah, we would never have brought it if it wasn't for
of course, for
you cultivators.
So what trends have you seen, are you think, from maybe a bit with your North American hat on, that you think are kind of yet to happen in Europe?
Well, that's a bit of a loaded question. I'm more from the finance side of things, and I look to where the new markets are in terms of new markets for products, not necessarily the new little trends into different types of extractions or different types of vaping or different things like that. I leave that to more our operations sort of guy. I'm more in the where the next market is, where the next financing is, where the next place is to go.
And what do you think that is?
That is, without question, we're in the right place. The UK and Europe is where, you know, there's 750 million people here in North America. There's 300, it's, you know, it's double the market. It's in its infancy. Mm-hmm. Like CBD's great, and we're glad to be there, and that's going to be great. But the medical cannabis side, that whole branding side, like, it's a modern world too, you know what I mean? We're not dealing with, we're dealing with a sophisticated society that got disposable income.
Yeah.
This is the place to be.
Yeah.
Like, it's, it is going to take off here.
And any other cannabinoids? Is that kind of entering the product development piece? So CBG, like, everyone's talking about?
Yeah, it's on the radar in terms of doing more stuff with it. More stuff. We're also looking into the pharmaceutical side of things, you know, in addition to adding to our portfolio. As I said before, we may have to pivot at some point, which I don't think so, but I've seen everything happen, being involved in the public markets for 30 years. If it can happen, it kind of will happen, you know what I mean? Like, I think Andrew can attest to that too, you know, if gold's going to go up and something next day's debt, like, it just, everything seems to, you got to be prepared in the public markets.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That being said, those things are definitely on the radar screen.
Cool. And I guess my before we sort of move towards the end, do you think Europe will develop differently to North America? And I think, in my experience so far, I see the culturally, and I guess there's two different things here, there's CBD and the THC side of things, the THC recreation. But I kind of think culturally there's a different approach to cannabis in North America than there is in Europe. I don't know whether you see that as well, and whether that has a bearing on...
I think it all comes down to the legal issues, you know. There's one, I can't remember what country, it's some small country here that's in Europe that's recreational.
Luxembourg.
Like, that's about it. But, you know, in North America, we're only dealing with two countries. I mean, 30 countries. I don't know how many are in the EU and in Europe. So there's so many countries to deal with that the THC market here is a long ways off. We're happy to be focused on CBD and that side of things, and maybe some medical. It's going to be a while here for
that
whole, the European market. So the Canadian market, the US market, you know, there's still a lot of opportunity in the US market. I mean, you got to remember, like, California is bigger than Canada, sort of thing. You know, it's like the Canadian market's recreational, almost been there, done that. You know, the US is moving fast and furiously on their recreational side of things. European, it's going to be a while. So we're happy to be the CBD side. I think the CBD side of things is going to keep... There's still lots of room here right now.
Yeah.
And if we get the distribution and over the next few years and we're there and it does become medical, recreational, you know, we're there. We got all the connections, North American connections. We've seen that market. We've been involved in the process in both countries, in Canada and the US.
Yeah.
So when it does come, we'll be ready for it.
Good. Look forward to it. Cool. So on to my trademark last question, which is, and it would have been a few years ago, but what did your family say when you first told them you were going to work in cannabis?
Well, my son was, like, as I said, my son was very happy. Depends which side you're looking at. You know, my young side, my family, my personal kids and that.
Yeah.
More than happy. Dad's pretty cool, man. He's in the right side of business. My parents on the other side, they're kind of like, what? What? You're in what? You can make a living at that. You can make money at it. So yeah, overall pretty good.
Yeah, that's good. It's always different in Canada, isn't it? But with Canadians I speak to, because of your laws and regulations, have been more open to it for a long time. So I guess it's a slightly easier conversation here. You get a lot of funny looks.
You do. I know. You do. You really do get a lot of funny looks.
Yeah, like, genuinely, are you smoking something? So
I don't... You know, I got interviewed by someone here a few months ago, and the person or the organization that was doing it, but it was a senior person at a high-up organization. They didn't know the difference between THC and CBD. So I'm looking like, man, we got a long ways to go here. If this is kind of a senior editor and they didn't know the difference between that, I go, okay, I guess I really know where we're at now.
Yeah, there definitely is. I mean, the cannabis industry bubble in the UK is quite small. You know,
that's the opportunity.
But anyone outside, the knowledge is not quite there yet. So education, as you mentioned.
Yeah, that's part of our theme. We just went over our new launch and branding for next year. It's going to be a lot of education.
Cool.
So we're excited about that. I hope the country's excited about it. Because love hemp. It's going to be... kicking butt.
Good. I love to hear that.
Lots of love.
Cool. Well, David, thank you so much. It was a great chat, and it sounds like lots of things are going to be happening, so it'd be great to have you on again in 6 months or so. Cheers, David.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.